Hello and welcome to Glimmer of Genius, episode 6. There have been a plethora of Magic the Gathering events over this weekend and the weekend before, and so we will be taking a whistle-stop tour through GP Kobe, GP Copenhagen, and the SCG Open events in Baltimore and Louisville. As well as that, we'll discuss Standard and Modern in general, and also some listener questions. My name is Luke, and I make YouTube videos. On the line with me is Level 2 Judge Grant David, and professional cardboard salesman Simon Wright. How are you both doing today?
I'm good.
I'm tired.
why are you tired, Simon?
I'm really hungover as well.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what. Yeah, I remember the rest of the world wouldn't have been privy to the chat, but when I was sending for today, prep for the show, what was the message that we got back from you, Simon?
I can't remember.
Wow.
It's just like, I'm drunk.
That sounds constructive.
Yep.
That's accurate.
Yeah, it was bloody accurate, I'll give you that.
Ever professional. But no, glad to see you were having fun. What were you doing?
Oh, I was about with an old school friend.
Oh, how nice. So then, Simon, that leads me to my other question of, have you done anything magic related this week? What have you been up to magic related?
I actually got to play some Standard.
Yes.
So I was running our last Standard Showdown. We only had 7 players. So, since they weren't very busy, I was like, well, I can jump in. So, I grabbed the Standard folder. We looked at, started with white, obviously, because my folder's all nicely colour ordered. And there was some Gideon allies at the front, some Selfless Spirits, Gideon of the Trials, always watching. So, okay, white team, since I've got some good white, just chuck some of that in. That was a bit like, oh, maybe Spell Quellers in blue. But now I don't have any Spell Quellers, so I moved straight to black. I picked up some like Cutthroats and Nyxlesses, some kill spells, just jammed it together, got some dual lands, just sleeved them up.
How did it perform then?
It should have performed terribly. I mean, I was running Toolcraft Exemplars with no artifacts and Crypt Breakers with no zombies. I just went one drop because I'm always watching it and get my beat on. Oh, I had some Avatings as well. That was good. Yes, I went white quite easily. But my first round was against turn one Mummy Cat, the lifelinking guy. I was like, okay, I might be right here. And then he went turn two Hidden Stockpile, and I went, oh, I see what you're doing. Oh, I see what you're doing. And it got nasty quick. But luckily, my deck managed to go over the top of it, and I managed to win. And then round two was against zombies. But game one, my opponent had to mull to like 4. That was a game. He took back game 2. And in game 3, I managed to win. But I think he had the wing on board, I'm pretty sure. He just didn't see it. You know, lucky.
Wings are in.
With this pile of jank. Make everyone know as well. And we get to round 3 and I'm playing Grixis, Gearhulk, Control. And that's quite tough. And I managed to win. I 3-0'd my little Sunday showdown with a just rare that I chucked together in 10 minutes before we started.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I like that story.
I really liked it. The rest of the shop were not so pleased.
Avacyn's a good card, you know.
Yeah. It was. Avacyn won a lot of games. Yes, yeah, so that was my take on Standard. I wouldn't recommend taking it to your next FNM. Because it was quite expensive. It probably shouldn't win.
Did you ever get the chance to draw 3 Crypt Breakers and then use them to draw cards at all, or did that never happen?
No, I did use it to make some zombies now and again, though. That was quite handy.
Hmm.
But technically, I should have been playing Toolcraft Exemplar with 4 Framing Inspectors, but I didn't have the time to go look at the uncommon box.
They weren't in the folder, that's the problem.
That was the thing, yeah.
I do love how, in your process of making that deck, you literally just went with the first page. Oh, these are white cards, and Avacyn begins with A, it's probably at the start. So
that's how it went. And I had Nyxlesses in there, so that's quite good. So I had quite a weird curve. Oh, I had 3, but what's her name? Thalia was in there as a 2 of.
She is.
She was quite good, actually. She was pretty good.
She's very good.
Yeah, it's just random cards chucked together. Oh, great card against the Grixis control deck was the White God. It makes warriors, not cats. I really round up my opponent by just keep saying, make a cat.
Cat warriors.
Yeah, to put it right until it's quality. Triumphant return to Standard.
Excellent. Undefeated. You got to retire now.
I had to sleeve everything and get it back in folders for the PPTQ the next day. Had to make those sales.
Grant, how was your week of magic? 2 weeks of magic?
But yeah, standard, I'm still running the Red White Humans deck, which is still fun. But when I played it on this Monday, I was a bit inconsistent land-wise. So I've drawn up a list that is just mono-white and sort of goes back to the always watching throwing down initiative thing. And yeah, I'll lose more humans to Dawn Dusk, which is what the deck was all about, but I think it should still work. But also I found it a bit too linear and didn't do very well against like Marvel and stuff.
No.
So I'm thinking, I've drawn up a list for it, just doing like a Rakdos hate deck that just does very well against Marvel and does like okay against vehicles and just the current meta basically.
What do you mean by hate deck?
Because I ran a PBTQ, a Dice Loom, which was obviously standard. I saw a few interesting decks there that gave me some ideas. And there was a guy that was running like a Jund Eldrazi deck kind of thing. So I had like Thought Not Seer, a Mastery Shaper, Galaxy Smasher, Arlin Cord. It's a real, like my kind of deck kind of thing, which just bits of everything. And I had a chat after it'd been knocked out because he's one of the top 8 decks. And I was like, oh, you know, why those colours and what do you find the most useful? Because, you know, I wanted to edit the deck myself. And he was saying, to be fair, like, all I want the green for is maybe run us the Indomitable. Like, I said, like, you don't even want Timeless Trackers. He said, like, yeah, they're okay sometimes, but not really. So, given from what he said, and before Amonkhet came out, I already had, like, a Rakdos colourless deck. I'm thinking, sort of using his list and my old list, and running a deck that basically, what I mean by hate is just stuff that will have like artifact or just permanent removal main board to get rid of Marvel.
Yep.
We'll have things like the Galaxy Smasher that is just hard to get rid of, and because it's 5 mana, is immune to Fatal Push. Just stuff like that. Like Aetherstone Harvesters, I found are really annoying to Marvel players because it just blocks Heart Crown all the time.
Yep.
But just, yeah, stuff that's very good in the meta, and it's just good stuff that I was going to make jump. Based on what this guy said, it seemed like Rakdos with colourless technically, seemed like the way to go. So, yeah, next time I play standard, which I believe will be actually not for 2 weeks now, I reckon I'll try either mono white humans or this Rakdos hate deck and see what happens.
That sounds pretty awesome.
But in terms of modern, actually, having said that, apparently Eastbourne is running a modern GPT tomorrow, despite the fact it is Thursday and an evening, which I think is quite interesting.
Yes, apparently this
Thursday
is...
evening?
Yeah. I think there's about 3, maybe 4 people, including myself, that said we're going. And I know it's not going to be massive, but and it's for GP Las Vegas, which I'm pretty sure no one I know is ever going to go to. But I don't know. I want to play some modern. It's going to have some big prizes. It's pretty cheap. I'm going to go there and have some fun, I think.
What are you going to be taking? Or just
Living End, which, because I missed you two when you were setting up your conversation about it. Obviously, you play Living End as well.
Yeah.
If you had any feedback for modern,
he says he plays it.
Hey.
So yeah, that's what I'm going to be taking now that I've edited it. And when I was watching you play a bit on Monday, it seemed like you got a similar list because I used to have more similar to the older list with like Deadshot Minotaur and stuff. And was reading an article that someone forwarded me about like how it changes Amonkhet and about like how. Just having it more efficient and you don't need them Deadshot Minotaur and having more fairy macabres. And
yep.
The bad thing about the Minotaurs is when they come back, they kill your fairies.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. So, Red, when Aaron was like, oh, read this article, I actually found the one from like 2 or 3 years ago accidentally by mistake, which I also haven't read. So it was good because I read the old one, then I read the new one and kind of put it together and was like, oh yeah, this is what I've experienced with it so far and yes. Stuff like that.
No, that's really cool. I might also be going to that. I am going. I've just booked my ticket for it, actually, the GPT.
All right.
The reason why it's on Thursday night is they're no longer doing GPTs. That's another thing we should probably talk about.
Yes.
So in order for them to actually host one, they're just doing it now before the cutoff date. And it's the same with Axiom as well. They're doing a midnight one on Friday. I think it was like that. The last opportunity they had to do one was like 11:59 or something.
Right, so, what's no longer doing GPTs?
Everywhere they're stopping them in favour of nationals are coming back.
Okay,
so it's one for the other, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I wasn't finding GPTs that going that well anyway, really. There wasn't much. Because it's not like a PPTQ where if you win it, you might actually go to your local RPTQ.
Exactly.
A GPT is like you don't really get to win travel or anything. Some of the bigger ones do, but it's normally just you want to go... But you might not be interested in the Grand Prix anyway that it leads into.
Exactly right. Like the thing that made me nearly not go to this one was like, well, am I going to go to Vegas? No, I can't afford to go to Vegas this year. So,
yeah.
But then I thought, well, I just want to go and play competitive.
It's got good prizes, you know.
Yeah.
But you're right, though, it's really funny, particularly from a judging perspective, with small-scale GPTs, and I don't think I've actually ever run a GPT apart from like the massive ones that's more than like 16 people. So you only got like 3 or 4 rounds, and then it cuts top 8. But as you said, unlike a PBTU, you're bound to win something that is worth money, because of even if you just took the promo card and dropped. It's funny, because you'll get like people really intensely fighting. They give out the prizes based on Swiss, and then it'll get to the top 8, and some people will be like, who's actually going to the GP? And then like 2 people put their hands up. So yeah. 6 people drop, and then just the event's over.
Yeah.
It's
really funny. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it before where no one in the top 8 is wanted to go to the GP. Yeah.
It's horrible.
You get home, you get to go home 3 hours early.
Yeah. Is that what happened this weekend?
No, of course that was a PPT.
Oh, of course it was. Yeah. Oh, no, I was there.
Just real quickly then, my magic this week and the week before, I took White Black Zombies to Games Day and did quite well in that. Won the Games Day at Dice Saloons, which was quite pleasing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then I got a bit, I don't want to say lazy, but there isn't really another word I can think of, and didn't really think about what deck to bring to the PPTQ that happened after, and got absolutely stomped out by Red-Blue Control. So that's entirely my own fault, just not listening to the signs that were there for like what sort of deck I should be playing. So I played Black White Zombies again, which can get under Red Blue if it's lucky. So I won all my game ones against Red Blue, but then game two, it's just like this slower version of Mono Black, which has less chance of getting under them because you're slower, having tap land and all the other stuff that goes with it. Good sideboard answers in the form of Gideons, but yeah, I didn't really feel like I was in the games at all. Games two and three, which is insane, but. Yeah, and then I think the last round as well. So I did really bad. I lost like most, if not all. I won one round and drew another, and then lost all the rest. And then later in the final round, I'm just sort of playing against my final round opponent, and Grant appears at the side of me and asks to count how many cards are in my deck. And I kind of look at him like, thinking what could I possibly have done? Like, and then he reveals this Shambling Vents in a sleeve matching the sleeves that I'm playing with, to which I just sigh and then concede to my opponent on the spot, thinking I just can't be bothered with this. Like, I
total sham.
I know, absolutely nothing on the line at this point. I just thought there is the guy was, because it was, the funny thing was as well, as you came over, like I was just sort of struggling to stay in the game, so it was like the closing few turns of the game, and he was really just kind of sealing it away. I just thought, you win, buddy. Well done. And he was just like, what's happened there? I was like, looks like I dropped a card on the floor like 2 or 3 rounds ago. And
that's Speedy Grom.
Yeah.
Wow. Spectating the game to me. I was like, okay, let's match this colour. Luckily they weren't just like Ultra Pro Blacks or whatever. But luckily it was in a non-important part. But yeah, it was 2 or 3 rounds ago. Jesus, that's... it's not great. It's lucky that I'm only expected to deck check about 10-20% of decks, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm just glad it happened on a day where I was just doing so badly, because it would have been gutted to get to any point, like, you know, be close to top 8 or whatever, and then have that happen. Would have just been...
Of course you're doing badly. You're a land short for most of
the time. Oh, terrible. It was so terrible. So yeah, lesson learned there. As both Simon and Grant have already said to me, count your deck between rounds, because stuff like that happens, and it won't cross your mind until it happens. Like, a similar thing happened to me once when I was playing a different PPTQ back in Khan's Standard, where, and I don't mind saying this because I don't mind sharing my experiences with people, no matter how much of an idiot it makes me look, but I didn't know there was a massive difference between the gloss and matte sleeves.
Oh, yeah.
So I, not knowing this, assumed that the packaging had just changed and they just got a new line of packaging. Because when I bought the new sleeves, all I could see was the gloss where I'd bought matte before. So I thought, oh, they've just changed it. The thing looks different. And I looked at the back of them and I was like, these are the same. And it was only when Mav was basically wandering around, immediately spotted that I had gloss and matte sleeves, deck checked me, and then was asking me, Luke, how did you sleeve your deck today? And I thought he was jerking me around. I was like, what the hell kind of question is that, Mav? But no, he was obviously being as open and kind of bland as possible to kind of see what my response would be. And I basically said to him, I know you're getting at something, but I don't understand the question. Like, beyond, I put the cards in the sleeves.
I took all my land and put them in this set of sleeves. And put them in these sleeves. That's what I thought.
Fortunately for me, there was no discernible pattern. Yeah. So they basically looked at me, shaking their heads, yeah, saying, well done you for not actually cheating. That's great, but think about what you're doing. Take 5 minutes to re-sleeve your deck. You'll get a time extension. I think I also, at the time as well, I hadn't, because I was, this PBTQ out also wasn't doing very well. I only got a warning. I think I got off really lightly because he could have just like game lost me, I think, at least. Grant, you'll be able to verify that for us.
It depends actually with that. I'm not entirely sure. The only ones I have come across have been really sketchy. So I haven't come across, well, to use your words, a situation where just someone's being an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and that was the beauty of the whole thing, is because I was so clueless, Mav not only took pity on me, but immediately was able to tell that there was nothing shady happening. So it was
clueless or master genius. What are you on about? I don't know. I just put my cards into sleeves.
Yeah. I got away with it. So yeah, that was fun. I also did a league on a lot of Living End as well, which has been great. So yeah, Grant, you want to watch my league as well?
Yeah, I saw the link. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
I've watched it. It's the best viewing ever, Grant. You can't. The first 1.5 rounds, you're watching and you go, this guy's a master. He knows exactly what he's doing. And it all goes tits up and downhill after that, doesn't it, Luke? It's great. It's great.
Yeah, there's a point where I forget how magic works. That's fun.
Yeah. There's a point I think you start blaming on the cat as well.
Yeah, the cats are distracting. Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, everyone should watch that. It's great.
I tell you why it is good as well. In Modern at the moment, Grixis Death Shadow is a massive thing, and I'd heard of it, but when I was playing it, I hadn't realised how popular this deck was. So I play a couple of rounds of death against Death Shadow, and I'm fairly confident you will see at least one opponent playing that deck on Thursday. So,
definitely. It's just one of GP as well.
Yeah.
I know it's an existence. I know its power level.
Yeah.
But literally, I've never seen anyone play it, which intrigues me. I mean, obviously, it's expensive as a coins, but yeah, I've literally seen no one play it, even though I know lots of people with coins.
No, this isn't good. This is Grixis Death Shadow.
Oh, Grixis. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Actually, not Grixis then. I was going to say, against the normal Death Shadow, I imagine Living End does quite well because you just instant speed stuff and make them sacrifice their big scary creature.
Yep. Unfortunately, against Grixis Death Shadow, they have cards like Stubborn Denial, which are a problem. So, yeah. And they go more on the discard as well. So, a couple of games, I basically have my hand torn apart, and you just think, what am I doing now? So, yeah, it's really... Yeah, I won't go too much into it, but yeah.
And also, they might have really big creatures in their graveyard, might they, Luke?
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
Shake crap. Oh. Good story about Ricochet Trap. I can't remember if I talked about this before. Last time I played Modern, which was in Eastfall as well, my opponent was playing some sort of blue-red deck. Don't really care. They look the same to me. but basically, he had Ancestral Vision suspended. So they're like, oh, cool. You know, in a few turns, I'm going to draw 3 cards. I thought they were going to be playing a lot more counter spells. They obviously weren't. So I had a Ricochet Trap in hand, which, if you're not familiar with what it does, the whole 4-mana redirects a spell. If they cast a blue spell, they only cost 1 red. So basically, he was like, oh, yeah, I've drawn my 3 cards. So I stopped there. So he's cast the suspended spell. So it's like, oh, Ricochet Trap only costs 1 red mana. I'm entirely tapped out, so he's right for him to just suddenly go draw 3 cards. So I discard Simian Spirit Guide, cast Ricochet Trap, and not that it's ever relevant, but Ancestral Vision says target player draws 3 cards.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
So I redirect Ancestral Vision onto myself and draw 3 cards, which is the best thing I've ever used. Actually, no, hang on. Having said that, there was a close second, which is at a GP once. The opponent was playing Geist, like Jeskai stuff, countered some spells earlier in the turn, went to Lightning Bolt my creature. I then Ricochet Trapped his Lightning Bolt onto his Geist, because Hexproof doesn't work and it's coming from him.
Yeah.
That was quite cool. So yeah, Ricochet Trap, super fun to do silly things with.
I love that. But
what is it? Oh, it can't be the target of spells your opponent's control, isn't it? Yeah. You're still the target, but it's his spell. Yeah. Awesome.
That is a heartwarming story. I like that one. The games day that we did recently, Simon, you ran it, didn't you?
If you can call it that, yeah.
Yeah. How did this go for you?
Shit. No, it wasn't too bad. So I've done a few smaller ones, like a couple of showdowns and stuff. I thought on game day won't be too bad. Probably get like 12, 16 players. We had 23, which wouldn't have been too bad, but I was sort of running the singles at the same time. The way it is, I can see who's bought a ticket. But some people got signed in as guests, so I didn't know who they were. So I thought, that's fine. I can sign everyone else and then try and find who's missing once we're ready to start. But the tournament's about to start, due to start at 11:30, and I've got people coming up at 28 minutes past 11, just getting in going, I need these cards for my deck. And I'm a bit like, well, I can't miss out on a sale. So I'm going to have to... But yeah, so it was just a bit awkward. So instead of someone else sorting that out, I had to wait until, like, I'd finish with everyone else and then go sort that out. So we eventually got delayed by, like, 15 minutes, which wasn't too bad, actually. But because everyone knows me, of course, they're heckling. Not knowing that I'm pretty stressed out. But we had 8 rounds, we got through it all. Even with the 15-minute delay, we done it all in 7 hours, which I was quite pleased with. Kept track on everyone, getting their results in, because a lot of people just don't like giving you their results. They just seem to think, oh, it's fine, he can guess. You do get asked stupid questions as well. I don't know why. I think people just focus so much on, like, trying to win that they just get stupid on all other matters. The best one was, Simon, how many points am I on? While I'm trying to sort out the top 8, so I'm like, well, how many rounds have you won? Wait, 3. So, like, well, you're on 9 points there. And it's just like stuff like that. It's disastrous. But no, apart from that, it was good. I think everyone had a good time. It ran smoothly after the first 15 minutes. I'd calmed down. I think everyone enjoyed themselves.
I thought it was really good. I've run Warhammer events in the past, and I know Grant can probably tell much better stories about the questions that you probably get asked. Just how awful humans can be when they're, you know, needing to do things and they're not doing them. So, yeah, I thought you did very well, all things considered. It was really good. So, yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
No, I thought it was good. And even though there was heckling and stuff, you got to think, obviously, it was stressful from your point of view because you're thinking, oh, God, everyone's, you know, wanting this to be done. But actually, the ethos and sort of ambience of the room was very much like, we're just chilled out waiting around, but no one's really actually angry or annoyed, we're just whatever.
No, yeah, everyone was quite relaxed about it waiting for it to start. Yeah, that was quite cool of them all.
No, excellent. Okie dokie, so we'll jump out of this then, and when we're back, we'll quickly go through some of the SCG events that have happened recently. Okay, so there have been many little SCG events over the last few days. So on the 20th of May, there was a Louisville Classic, that's been called, on the SCG page. And looking at the top 8, we're not going to go over the list in great detail. We're just going to kind of give a snapshot of the top 8 because there isn't an awful lot of new stuff happening with Standard at the moment. Obviously, Red Blue and Teamer Marvel are still pretty big, but other than that, there isn't an awful lot to really add. So the top 8 of the Louisville one, you have 1, 2, 3 Aetherworks decks in there, 2 yep. Teamer ones, 1 Bant one, and then you've got 2 Teamer Tower lists, so that's Teamer sort of energy production removal with Dynavolt Tower, and then the other, I suppose these two are quite interesting. You've got these 4 colour mid-range decks, so 5th. So yeah, Rogue Refiners, Sylvan Advocates, Tireless Trackers to really kind of just play the mid-range game, really. It's quite interesting that they're not actually playing Aetherworks Marvel at all. So there's that deck. And then Esper Spirits as well, 8th place. I know Channel Fireball wrote an article on Esper vehicles. And there's been Blue White Spirit deck that's sort of been out and about. So cards like Avacyn, Spellqueller, Selfless Spirit, that sort of thing, and kind of playing the Blue White Flash kind of strategy. In this Esper Spirits one, it was pretty much the same, but splashing black for Shambling Vents, Fatal Push, Anguished Unmaking. And also, Grant, you're like this, they're making use of Dusk Till Dawn as well.
Hey.
Which is also quite good.
Oh, yeah, of course, because it's Spellqueller. That's actually not a bad shout.
Yeah.
Ooh, I have these cards.
Yeah. One card I particularly like as well is Nebelgast Herald, which is the 3-mana flash 2/1 flyer. Whenever Nebelgast Herald or another spirit enters the battlefield under your control, tap target creature and opponent controls. So that's quite interesting. Yeah, break your card. So there's a lot of this kind of tempo-y cards that we're seeing a bit more now in and amongst the format of Team of Marvel, Dynavolt Tower, and Control, which is quite interesting.
So I played against the recently, actually. I think it must have been people copying these lists because I've never seen the decks before. I played against four-color midrange and I think it was. I think it was just blue-white spirits. But it was interesting because it's people forget about Spellqueller, and obviously that was a huge influence before. Yeah. So that was kind of difficult to deal with. And the four-color vehicles one that is basically Mardi vehicles but splashes blue for Metallic Rebuke, I found quite interesting because you see like the Toolcraft Exemplar and you go, okay, cool, this is just vehicles. And then like turn two, they can counter a spell because you tap the clue to improvise the Rebuke. Yeah. And I thought that was really interesting. So both those lists I quite enjoy just because they're a bit different and unexpected.
I really like Metallic Rebuke as well. I think in those decks, I'd first seen it in the Esper vehicles lists, which is very similar to Mardu. Obviously, you're just playing more counter spells in favour of the red cards and obviously Spellqueller, which sometimes you'll play a 3-drop on turn 4 or whatever. If you've got, like you say, Grant, the Heart of Kieran or something else, you've got Metallic Rebuke left up without even really trying very hard.
Yeah, it's nice.
If you think about it, you're playing these games or you're racing or what have you, or they're trying to curve out their Marvel on turn 4 without even thinking about it, then you can really get them with that sort of sequence, which is, it's pretty good. The other event was in Baltimore, the other top 8 I'm looking at now. 1, 2, 3, 4 Teemer Aetherworks decks in the top 8, Mardu Vehicles, something called Teemer Energy, and then Mono Black and Green Black Energy. Teemer Energy, I bet you that's just Aether. Oh no, that is, again, more of a mid-range plan, and using energy for cards like Long Tusk Cub, Bristling Hydra, and Whirl of Virtuoso, rather than the Marvel plan. And also a Singleton Confiscation Coup as well, which I really love. I want to see. I don't know why that card's not seen more play, Confiscation Coup. It's a 5-mana sorcery, choose target artifact or creature, get 4 energy, and then you can pay an amount of energy equal to that permanent's converted mana cost. And if you do, you get control of that thing. So someone plays a Marvel and they haven't got enough energy to use it, you can just steal it. That, I think, is quite funny when you consider this deck is all about generating energy, so you can actually steal it and then use it yourself, which is quite humorous.
Not many zombies.
Nope. The one zombie in this Baltimore one was just second place, and it's pretty stock. All the things you'd expect: 24 lands, 2 Westvale Abbeys. Only playing 3 Liliana's Mastery, which I don't like because that card is awesome. But nothing really different about the list. All the stuff that you've seen sort of from any kind of stock list. Kalitas in the sideboard is quite good. Dispossesses, Transgresses, all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, it's still there. It can still beat you if you're not prepared for it. And I think it will still be there in the background because whilst you have all these Marvel decks and then all these other mid-range decks sort of doing shenanigans with energy and all that stuff and maybe Esper things going on, you might then just get zombies appearing and just smashing face and still kind of stealing to get these games that way. Because I know the blue-white tempo doesn't necessarily have a very good zombie matchup. I know the Channel Fireball Esper vehicles list, they were saying the zombies matchup is really difficult. So they have a transformational cyborg plan because their theory is you're really good against like the control decks and the teamer decks, but you can then, so you can just dedicate your whole cyborg more or less to the zombie matchup and kind of play it like that. So that's standard really. There's not masses and masses different. There was also at Louisville, there was a modern event and the top 8 saw a lot of Collective Company, Counters Company. So there's 1, 2, 3 copies of that. Red White Prison deck, Hate Bears. So Counters Company is essentially just using a Call of Calling Collective Company and then doing the infinite combos with the Vizier of Remedies, which puts, if one or more 1/1 counters would be put on a creature you control, that many counters at -1 are put on instead. So you have Devoted Druid, which allows you to put a -1/-1 counter on it to untap it, and then you can effectively then tap it again to make mana and then untap it, and you're not able to put a counter on it, so you just rinse and repeat for infinite mana. And you then, with your infinite mana, you can either use Duskwatch Recruiter's 3-mana ability to look at the top 3 cards of your library, reveal a creature card from among them and put it into your hand, put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. You do that infinitely with your infinite mana until you hit a Walking Ballista, and then cast Walking Ballista for an infinite amount of mana and blow your opponent up using that. All the while, it's got just good stuff to gum up the board between Kitchen Finks and Eternal Witness to try and get back your plan. So if someone counters your, you know, key card, you can use Eternal Witness to get it back. So it's that sort of thing, the Collected Company deck at the moment, which I'm sure is probably not that fun to play against, because it's just, it's almost like playing against Splinter Twin, but with less counter spells. It's like, oh, do you have the combo? Oh, I'm just dead. So yeah, more infinite combos. So that's fun. And then in the top 8 of Baltimore, there was Baltimore ones as well. There's 2 Baltimore events. You had Dredge, Grixis Death Shadow, Jund, Eldrazi Tron, Scapeshift and Grixis Death Shadow. So one thing that sticks out in my mind is just the different, I've listed quite a few different decks there. I'm purposely not going to go into each and every one of these because there's so many different ones. And in another Baltimore event, the classic, Jeskai Control, 4-color control, 2 burn decks, Blue-Red Storm, and Living End. So many different decks comprising Modern at the moment. And for me, that makes it really quite interesting. I know a lot of people don't necessarily like the fact that it's so open, but I think it's really good time to be playing Modern at the moment. Just all these different decks there. So yeah, Grant, is a top 8 Living End deck if you want to look at that. Have you found that one?
Which event is this for?
So, sorry, I'm moving quite fast through these just because there is so much of it to get through. So the Baltimore Open.
Baltimore Open.
That was a lie, I'm sorry. Baltimore Classic.
Baltimore Classic, okay.
8th place deck, sorry. Abbas Jeffrey. Yeah. So let's briefly go over that because we both like that one.
Ooh.
Yeah, so first thing I noticed, 18 lands. So I usually run 19, but 18 seems to be what a lot of people online are doing, and the videos that I've watched people seem to be doing it. So it does feel like you can get away with 18. The land's fairly stock, one of each of the shock lands you need. 3 Copperline Gorge, which I like, 1 Blooming Marsh. You can run the Grove of the Burn Willows as well, but I don't know if that's great. It is good against Death Shadow, which is quite funny, making them gain life. So that's not irrelevant to run the Grove of the Burn Willows. And this one's really going out on the new cards as well, like I've started to do. So 4 Desert Ceridon, 4 Horror of the Broken Lands.
I'm really not sure about the 4 form that makes 2 Avalanche Riders.
really doesn't want people to have land, does he?
No, this is the thing, because I only run 2 or 3 form that mages because I've got Blumbin in my sideboard and that chain tends to do the same job, really. But also, I've had so many dead games where just, cool, it's a card that goes to the graveyard, but you know, you face like Burn or you face Fish or whatever, and it just doesn't do anything. Yeah. And at least for Formulate Mage, you can bring it back and you sacrifice something. With Avalanche Riders, unless you can discard it for something, which I don't think you really can, the 4 mana thing. Like, he was great when I didn't have Formulate Mages, but if you've got a playset Formulate Mages, I wouldn't run 2 of those. Although it says destroy target land, so I suppose that's a bit wider, but I don't like the fact that he's 4 mana. I think that's a bit too much for Living End.
I
like Tarry Zev's expertise though. I think that's a really cool idea because you steal a creature, cast Living End from your hand, and then you sacrifice their creature. That's quite cool.
They've actually shaved 1 Demonic Dread for that Tarry Zev's expertise, which I don't think is totally bad because you don't want too many things to target creatures, and considering they both need a creature to target.
Yeah, that seems fine.
And it's nice that with Tarry Zev's expertise, you can target your own creatures as well, which is not totally irrelevant.
There was an argument for running more Beast Within, which I do anyway because of Rest in Peace and stuff, but also there was an argument for running Dryad Arbor and being able to fetch it up just for a creature target.
Yeah. That's not something I would do, but I can understand why people do it. I think it's definitely interesting. I think the reason why he's going for the Avalanche Riders is because of the 2 Blood Moon in the main and the 2 Beast Within as well. So he's really kind of hitting on that land destruction plan.
I don't think I'd ever want to run 2 Blood Moons. Like, for me, you either go full and go 4, or you go 3. If you've got 2 in the main board, you're not really going to be hitting them very consistently at all. And it's not like even got a third or fourth one in the sideboard. That seems a bit weird to me, but I don't know, that's just from my experience playing Glove Moods.
That's fair enough. I quite like Pulse of Murasa in the sideboard for Burn.
Yeah, it's nice. I used to run North of Bone, and then saw, I think it was from that article we were talking about, actually, he was running Brindle Boar. Which I prefer, because I've had situations before when I'm like, oh, I need to cast North of the Bone, I'm going to gain lots of life, but it's 3 mana and that's a lot or whatever, and then it won't do anything because maybe it'll get exiled or whatever. But with Brindle Boar, you've got a body and it gains you 4 life as well, and you can sacrifice it if it's in play and all that sort of business. So yeah, I'm going to try Brindle Boar tomorrow and see what happens.
I've liked Brindle Boar. I don't like too many of them. I usually have like one or two. But yeah, the fact that you can block with it normally means you are actually gaining more than 4 life. Which is,
yeah, which Bone obviously you can't. So yeah, I've got 3 against Bird tomorrow. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and if you're forced to fire off a Living End, that's quite weak. If you've managed to get a Brindle Boar in there, then getting the Brindle Boar back is also quite nice.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that's quite good. Interesting little food for thought on Living End there. The thing we want to kind of put a bit more of a spotlight on was the top 8 lists for GP Kobe, which happened last weekend, this weekend just gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, 28th of May, and there are some really interesting deck lists there as well. So I'll put a link in the description for the SCG stuff and the Grand Prix as well, just so you can see these. Again, quite. I don't think we double up on anything in this top 8. I think this is literally the most diverse top 8 I've ever seen. So you've got...
Yay modern, not like standard.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, I'd looked at the top... these lists before the show, obviously, but I hadn't really kind of digested that this was also different. So it just hits home that point again, doesn't it, about the diversity. So you've got Ad Nauseam, Affinity, Esper Control, Grixis Death Shadow, Jeskai Control, Dredge, Eldrazi Tron, and White-Black Eldrazi.
And yeah, it's quite a mix. But what I like the best about it, though, is when you actually look at the deck list,
yeah,
there's a lot of cards you really don't expect. You hear those names, oh yeah, I know what's in there. But you look at the deck list, and they're totally out there. I looked for the Copenhagen top 8 first. I went, yeah, that's fine. And then looked through Kobe and went, oh, there are very, very tricksy cards in there.
My favourite moment against Ad Nauseam when I was at Prague, I think it was I was running that weird, I don't know if you ever saw it, was the Oath of Nyssa doubling season Blood Moon Planeswalker list. So you run lots of dorks to give you mana. You run Blood Moon to cruise over the opponent. You run Oath of Nyssa, all your mountains to give you whatever mana you need for Planeswalkers anyway. There's a situation where I had locked this Ad Nauseam player out, more or less. Got Jace Architect of Thought and just ticked him up, Ultimate him. I cast an Emrakul out of my deck and a Lightning Storm out of his deck and then killed him with his own Lightning Storm.
That
was ridiculous.
That is hilarious.
So looking at this top 8, my favourite obscure card is the Affinity list running the one snow-covered island. Why a snow-covered island?
I pass.
They count as basics, don't they?
Yeah.
So you can find it if you get Path to Exile, I guess. But why a snow-covered island?
It's more interesting than a normal island.
Exactly, that's what I thought. He's just put in there for added spice.
If you mouse over the snow-covered island, it has 3 creepy faces on the island. Maybe that's why, just to kind of freak people out.
Unnerve the opponent.
Yeah. The other interesting thing as well is the one-off collected company.
What, the Affinity deck? Yeah.
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 He's proper going for it. So he's got 2 Thoughtcast, 2 Galvanic Blast, 1 collected company. Normally that's, you see like one or two of these, and then just the other stuff tends to be quite stock. Rarely do you see Thoughtcast and Galvanic Blast.
Surely that should be a snow-covered forest then.
Yeah, well, I guess not, because Master of Ethereum's blue, so he does have 4 blue cards, and Collector Company is just a one-off.
Yeah, there is more blue and red in the side. All right, no snow-covered forest.
Yeah.
Did you see the Ad Nauseam deck? I'm not familiar with the deck that much. Does it usually run Laboratory Maniac in the main?
An alternate win condition, I think. I have seen it before, yeah.
Okay, but what I hadn't seen before was Lightning Storm.
No, that's how the deck wins.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So, yeah, when you basically turn your library upside down, you throw all your lands at them or play Laboratory Maniac and then draw a card.
In the same way that Crystal Brand uses Borborgamus as a win condition, but obviously you can't get big creatures in a Nauseam deck, but again you just chuck lands at the opponent.
I do like the idea of someone like lifting up their library and then throwing it at their opponent.
I think there's an unplayed card there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what that does. One thing I quite liked as well is the Esper control deck.
Boo!
I think it's really cool.
I've seen this.
Yeah, so it's running four Painful Truths, which is strange, but...
Sorry.
It's pretty cool.
Why the Glory Band Initiates? What?
I don't know.
They've got Vigilance. They've got one Toughness. What's going on?
I don't get it, but obviously it works. I suppose it's playing some sort of aggro control game with and tempo as well, because it's gone full on with the four Snapcaster Mage.
those good old aggro control tempo decks.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it's basically it's aggro control because he puts down Glorybound Initiate and Tassica, and he's got cards like Mana Leak and Spell Snare to protect it while he hits you and gains loads of life, and Fatal Push and Path to Exile to deal with things like Death Shadow and all the other things as well. Lingering Souls is good value. It's just really good. Because I noticed about a lot of the control decks and trying to play fairies and stuff is you can't really sit back on counter spells. You need to actually, in modern at the moment, be representing some kind of clock. And I think this is what Glorybound Initiate and Tassica does. It's the same thing with the reason why all the Death Shadow things are still seeing popularity. Even though they've lost Gitaxian Probe to do the combo of Become Immense and Team of Battle Rage, they're just putting cheap, aggressive creatures down, presenting a clock, and just trying to then answer everything else that you can do, whether it's through discard or counter spells or removal.
If you've got a Glory Band Initiative equipped with a Battle Skull, I don't think you need any sort of clock.
No, exactly.
I mean, better ways to do that. Lifelink seems a bit redundant at that point.
Yeah.
I imagine this has got not a terrible burn matchup as well, because between Collective Brutality, Lingering Souls, and Glorybound Initiate, you actually can gain quite a lot of life. And Tassica is a brick wall against burn decks as well. Glorybound Initiate, and then Collective Brutality into Snapcaster Mage, Collective Brutality, just to gain life, kill your, you know, goblin guys and stuff. That's horrible. Normally you'd see like an Esper Control, or like these slow growing control decks, and actually have like terrible burn matchups, but this is pretty cool. And then we've got Grixis Shadow as well, which is that this one's fairly what we're expecting from the Grixis Shadow. So, you know, discard, kill spells, Stubborn Denials, Street Wraiths, Tassigas, Gurmag Anglers, that sort of thing. And then Jeskai Control as well. Just playing four Logic Knot. That is a lot of delve.
Oh, the original delve card.
Yeah. What I find interesting as well is in a lot of these control decks, none of them are playing Ancestral Visions. They're all just playing Serum Visions, which you can get back with Snapcaster Mage, so that does make sense. But it's just interesting to see that Ancestral being unbanned still, even now, is like, it's just not really getting there.
There was a Fate, is it Fate Foretold?
Oh, yeah.
There was a Fate Foretold deck doing okay in the Copenhagen one, and that was running, obviously, Ancestral Visions and other bits. But yeah, it didn't make it to the top table.
That's a shame. And then the other decks were, let's say, Eldrazi Tron, pretty expected, really, just playing lots of big Eldrazi, Chalice of the Void, Walking Ballista, that sort of thing. And then a black-white Eldrazi as well, running a 4-4 Tidehollow Scar and Wasteland Strangler, which is interesting.
Yeah, I saw that. I quite like that.
Yeah. I like the idea of casting Tidehollow Scar, exiling a card, and then Wasteland Strangler to make sure they never get the card back, and then you kill something else.
I mean, that's good, but I like the Flicker-Wisp one more, the one where they would get it back, but only like a turn later, and you still exile it.
Yeah.
So even more like a slap in the face of the Tidehollow Scholar.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the best bit about the deck, though, is the four Relic of Progenesis in the main, just to make sure you get some of their cards into exile.
That is funny.
Instead of relying on Ingest, which they don't have any on.
I've played games online where you sit down and someone like in their main deck has Relic of Progenesis and you're playing like Living End or something and you're just like, what the hell? So I'm sure he upset quite a few people just by having that main deck. It's good insurance against like Dredge as well. There was a Dredge deck in the top 8. It's just interesting to see Dredge is still there.
It's good against Living End decks as well.
Copenhagen, which you mentioned before, you had a Grixis Death Shadow, Lantern Control, Living End, Titan Shift, Storm, Dredge again, Counter's Company, Death Shadow, So again, a nice mix of decks. Storm deck, different to the Ad Nauseam deck, different game plan entirely. It's obviously using Storm as the way to win, as opposed to Lightning Storm, yeah.
Which I now know is an important part of the deck.
Yes. Other Living End is also running four Fulminator Mages in the main deck. One Shriekmaw in the main deck. Dreadshot Minotaur. I don't like that. He needs to be running.
Does it have Ferry Macabre as well?
No Ferry Macabres.
That's probably why then.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'd still rather have the 6/4.
Oh, yeah. I agree, yeah.
You guys back on Living End again.
Nah. But their sideboard is interesting. So you see, the difference in sideboards is interesting, because you've got this guy running Lost Legacy, whereas the other person's running Slaughter Games,
yeah.
Yeah, which is good. Uncounterable, remove a card, extraction effect. And then he's going for the 4/4 Leyline of the Void, which is good. One-way Grave Hate is nice. But yeah, so that's all the events there. It's a bit of a quick one, just kind of going through, just picking out certain things there. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what the local modern tournament brings up tomorrow. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that should be quite fun. You guys are both on Living End.
It'll be the Living End or Burn. I'm not sure which. So yeah, bring your Brindle Boars, Grant.
What happens if it's Living End versus Living End? I've never done that before.
Whoever gets their ley line down will probably win.
This is an awkward time to say I don't have any ley lines.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's tempting now just to bring Living End. Just run the 4/4 set of ley lines just in case we play one another.
I'm tempted just to run like a middling mage and just name Living End and none of us can cast it. I'd be like, and what? I'd hit you with monkey.
Okay, so we'll just drop out of this segment, and when we get back, we will do some question time. So we went out on our Facebook page and asked you questions, or asked if there are any questions, rather, that the community had for ourselves on the podcast, and we got a few responses. I know, right? So here's a good one. How do we think Standard would look if Battle for Zendikar had rotated out as planned?
Similar, I think. Well, no Gideon, thank God.
We'd have no Gideon, we'd have no Chandra Flamecaller, which is seeing playing Marvel.
But then, wouldn't have Gideon... So, Battle for Zendikar would have rotated through his deck when Amonkhet came out, right?
Yes.
Mardu vehicles still would have been a thing. Yes. The thing is, Gideon isn't really much of a big deal as much as he was, say, a couple of months ago.
True.
So I don't think the Gideon bit really sticks out to me. It's Ulamog is the obvious one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more would Etherworks Marvel still be good?
But then, because the thing is, I was just thinking, what does Marvel do without Ulamog? And there's those lists running Flamecaller, but then obviously trying to Flamecaller, she is out the gatewash, isn't she?
Yeah, she'd go to.
So I don't. That could be a thing. So
you'll just play something else big and stupid.
The next big things, I think, are Gear Hulks. So then maybe it goes into instead of Teemer, or maybe it just goes four color and goes into, because there's already a Bant version which runs, I think, Tamiyo and other bits and bobs. So you could run the Angel combo, Brizella and Gisela.
You've got Plated Crusher, the ridiculous uncommon that's crazy and limited. He's good fun. I'd run him.
You could do that. I reckon we'd probably see more of the Demon of Dark schemes, because if you go into black with reanimating stuff with him, and also he makes energy when stuff dies, he's a sweeper, and he could potentially synergize well with like the Noxious Gear Hulk. So I reckon you might have seen more of a tendency to go into black for that sort of effect. Maybe just more like aggressive energy decks like we're starting to see now. Like maybe that would just be more of a thing, would have been more of a thing sooner. So like Bristling Hydra and stuff like that.
I think the question is did Wizards test a standard with Battle for Zendikar not rotating out?
I think Marvel would still be a thing. It's just we'd see more of those. Oh, no, sorry, let me rephrase that. I think a similar deck would still be the same sort of thing in terms of we saw those other energy lists up that either use Marvel or didn't use Marvel. I think energy would still be quite dominant because of the way it functions.
Yep.
But you wouldn't get this stupid turn 4 I win the game with Ulamog as much. So I think it would be probably healthier if it had rotated as planned. But I don't know what it would look like, because obviously you'd have to then reevaluate what's the strongest cards and stuff.
Yeah. I think you're right. Because of the lack of game-winning effects, I just think the format would probably be a lot more mid-rangey. So people would still be doing powerful things with Marvel, but it wouldn't be, oh my god, the game's over. It would be, okay, I'll Marvel into a Gear Hulk. Okay, fine, kill my Gear Hulk, and then I'll Marvel into my Gear Hulk, and I'll kill your thing, and then, you know, stuff like that. And it would just be a bit more kind of mid-rangey.
We'd still have zombies, wouldn't we?
Zombies would still be a thing, yeah.
I think it's mainly just Evil Works Marvel that would be affected.
Yeah. Okay, I had another question. How much of the recent standard attendance, or drop in recent standard attendance, should I say, do we think is down to R&D? Essentially, it's failure to keep a standard environment healthy. And do we expect to see more bans in the future?
Ooh. Has standard attendance dropped?
Yeah, it has a bit, I would say.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say you'd need to find out whether the fact that R&D has had to ban cards recently is due to them changing their minds over this rotation backwards and forwards. Because if it's just to them planning cards badly, then that sucks. That would probably still be a thing anyway. Like, unless you just tell them to, you know, research better. But if these are down to the fact that they were planning stuff and they didn't know that because of the rotation was longer than expected, that it stuff interacted more than they was expecting to, or interactions that weren't going to be there that suddenly are.
Yeah,
I don't think it's as fair, because probably R&D probably didn't get a say in this rotation, I would say, or not much of a big one, obviously. So I think you'd have to work out whether it's due to the bannings are due to rotations, or bannings are just due to the actual cards themselves, I would say. But then you've got situations, obviously, like Felidar, Guardian and Sahili Ray, which obviously you can't argue, but maybe you could argue, you know, Ulamog and Marvel, certainly. So, I don't know.
Do we expect more bans in the future? Yes, unfortunately. I think Wizards have proven that they're quite willing to ban a card just to mix up the format and get a chance for new cards to shine.
I have a bit more faith in them, in as much, I say faith in as much as I don't think they want to kill the game, and I think they want to keep it good. And I know there's a whole, any publicity is good publicity, but I actually think the bans have been quite cancerous, and I choose that word very specifically because I think having those bans in place is very toxic for the community, and I don't actually think it's a good player experience. And I think they're very keen on trying to, at a very kind of grassroots level, create a good experience for players, because they've got a very good market for casual gamers, and they don't want people to be disenfranchised when they go to an FNM and stuff gets banned, or it's not a healthy or fun environment. So I think
the way that's manifested before was when, you know, I wasn't playing competitively then, but when there was the
Jason Core Sculptor and Stoneforge Mystic got banned.
Because wasn't one of the, not intro decks, but one of the decks you could buy at the time had Stoneforge Mystic in it, wasn't it?
Yes.
And they said that this card is banned unless you run the deck exactly as it came out of the box. And I think that's a good demonstration as to how they are willing to ban something if needs must, but they don't want to screw over newer players because then they wouldn't be able to use the cards that they've just bought or just spend money on.
Exactly. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that the bans have had quite a dangerous effect. My friend's looking to complete his Death Shadows deck. He doesn't play competitively much anymore, but he came to me looking for a few more cards to finish off the deck. And then Death Shadow went and won the GP, and he was just put off straight away going, what if they ban it? It was only one deck, like two decks in the top eight. It wasn't like, but all of a sudden, because of recent bannings, he's like, well, I don't want to spend the money and then it gets banned. That should be terrible.
Yeah.
It has to be fearful to put decks together in the first place.
I'm going to optimistically say that I think there will be more bans in the very short term. So maybe like one more or two more. But I think when stuff has settled down after this new rotation has settled in, I'm going to say there's going to be very, very few, if any, when that kicks in. But I think in the meantime, there might be some until it stabilises.
Yeah, that's fair. Like it. Okay, and final question then. Is Marvel a flawed card at a concept level as it promotes getting lucky as a strategy? Or is it only an issue because of Ulamog?
The second one.
What's wrong with getting lucky? To win Magic, you have to be lucky.
Yeah, it's like 40% luck or something, isn't it? Someone worked out.
Well, every card you draw is luck, isn't it? What's going to come? I mean, you decide what's in your deck to reduce the luck element, that you're going to draw what you need. They used to have cards that were flip a coin.
Ah.
You know,
I think the question is asking, if Ulamog was gone, like, would there just be another card that would take its place, and therefore the luck aspect would still win you the game? And as I think we were discussing earlier, as to, you know, if Battlefield for Zendikar rotates out, what would happen? I think there isn't anything really comparable to Ulamog, certainly not just like, okay, you've played this, I'm going to concede now. So I think it definitely is, it's just Ulamog. Yeah. And although getting lucky into certain cards will be good, there's always going to be some aspect of luck in there. And as long as they don't just create two cards that are perfectly together, then I don't think it's so much of an issue. And the luck aspect is just fine if you want to go down the risky strategy. That's cool.
Mm. Yeah, Marvel's getting a lot of hate. But the one thing I do like about the card, it's made the energy mechanic very relevant in Standard.
Yeah, I agree.
Which quite often you get these cool little mechanics coming along in Limited, and they're just not good enough to make it to Standard, and like they just go to the wayside. But lately we've had vehicles, we've had energy, and it's good to see the themes come out into the Standard environment as well.
Yeah, so having said about luck as well, I've seen people playing Marvel like, obviously, you're not going to consistently get it on the first try, but say, you know, I don't know, like 80% of the time you get it first, second, or third, or whatever. But I've had games against people that it may literally, not exaggerating, spun it 7 or 8 times and not hit what they want, or Ulamog's gone out some other way. And again, that's luck being unlucky, you know.
Yeah, I don't. It's Marvel flawed as a concept level as it promotes getting lucky.
Same as Collected Company.
Yeah, same as a lot of cards. No, I don't think that's the issue, really, with getting lucky.
I think the whole luck element is probably a balancing act to make the card overpowered.
Exactly, yeah.
That's kind of why they throw that in there. It is lucky
basic
or unlucky.
Basic energy search a deck for something and cast it.
Yeah, which would be... yeah. That would be too good, wouldn't it? So, yeah, I think that's how they kind of try and get around it in some way.
Or a fault, isn't it? In Amon Khet, that's the... You can cast stuff off the top of your library for free. But obviously you have to tick it up first and it's only the top cards. Yeah. So you'd have to do deck manipulation. That, you know, that's a much, much watered down version that's never going to see play. But again, it's the same thing. You know, you can get lucky, you could abuse it horribly, but you're going to have to set it up first.
Yeah.
So when you're saying that there might be more banned recently, Grant, did you think Aether Work Marvel is top of the list?
It's possible. I would say until whatever the new Aztec set, whatever it's called, comes out, I would say...
Out of Devastation.
No, that's the second Amon Khet.
So oh, sorry.
The next block, I mean. Until the next block comes out where the rotation settles down, I don't think it's impossible at all that there'll be one or two more bannings. But when it does settle down, I don't think there'll be many, because it wasn't until recently that I'd seen any bannings at all because of that break I had around sort of World Wake and stuff. So, yeah, that's what I think.
No, that's cool. That was all the questions we had. So, yeah, nicely rounded up in...
all answered with equal at Marvel.
Yeah. No, I think it just shows that we have well thought out, well reasoned arguments that are correct, and that's that, isn't it? You know.
Well, that's a bit of an overstatement saying we're correct. Get a lot of feedback. It's
all wrong if you disagree.
Yeah. I got lucky.
Yeah. So that is all for now from us. Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, give us some feedback on our Facebook page. Search us up on Facebook, follow the group, and keep up to date with whenever we are sending out podcasts. We can also be found on the MTGCast network. That is mtgcast.com, as well as our own podcast website, which is glimmerofgenius.podbean.com. Also, if you're interested in even more Magic the Gathering content, then please check out my YouTube channel, Vincent Games, which you can find in the description below, or search up Vincent Games on YouTube. Thanks very much for listening, and stay tuned for more. Thanks very much, guys.
Good luck with your tournament tomorrow, both of you.
Thank you.
I won't get beaten by Living End Mirror.
Nah.
See you later.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.